welcome to the African American Chamber of Commerce Weekly Empowerment Hour. We broadcast weekly on Tuesdays, 5 p.m. until 6 p.m. on 1040 a.m. WCHR. Thank you to our sponsors, Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey and Wells Fargo. Today, just a brief announcements. We do have the AACCNJ presents Your Goals, Your State, Your Move on Thursday, March 17th, 2026, at the Transformation Center located at 167 West Hanover Street in Trenton, New Jersey, at from 5:30 p.m. until 8 o'clock p.m. Please join us for a solutions-focused men's conversation facilitated by the great Mr. John Harmon himself. And he will address some issues and things and then some solutions as well of Black men. What's holding us back? Now, women are invited to join this conversation, but it is a conversation that will be facilitated and focused on men, Black men. AACCNJ also presents the State of Black New Jersey. This is one of the African American Chamber of Commerce of New Jersey's annual events. On Thursday, April 16th, 2026, at the Princeton Marriott Forrestal from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. Please join the AACCNJ for the conference consisting of three panel discussions. The keynote speaker has been announced for this event, and we will have the phenomenal leader, Mr. Al Sharpton, Reverend Al Sharpton, coming as keynote speaker for the State of the Black this year. So we look and hope to see you all there. Registration for all events. Please follow us on AACCNJ.com, and registration is open. Today, this evening, we have a phenomenal guest in studio, Mr. Owen Dublin, who is president and CEO of Burr Cash, and that's B with four R's. Mr. Owen, welcome to the African American Chamber of Commerce Radio Empowerment Hour. Please introduce yourself.
Thank you for having me here today. My name is Owen Dublin, as she's mentioned, and I am the president of Burr Cash. And quick about my background, I'm from the Caribbean, from Guyana. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and then I've lived in Pennsylvania for probably over 10 years now. I have kids. I love to barbecue. I love to do some more tech stuff. I love to invest in real estate. And I generally just have to have fun and try to live life to the fullest.
Okay. You said you're from Guyana. Okay. How long were you born in Guyana? Or
I was actually born next door to Guyana in Suriname, but I was, a Guyanese citizen born abroad.
Okay. And how long have you been in America?
For over 35 years.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. So I think now you're both, right?
Yes.
we could call you both. You're definitely American at this point.
Yes.
All right. So I guess, Owen, tell us a little bit about your story. What inspired you to start BRR, Burr Cash?
So, yes. So I've been investing in real estate myself for about 20 plus years. And in that time frame, I started mentoring investors. And besides guiding them in their strategy for all their stuff, I got this common question: do I provide financing? And I always just say, no, I don't. No, I don't. No, I don't. And then eventually, people say, you know what? If you get asked the same question, maybe you should lean into it. Mm-hmm. So I decided one day to lean into that question as my clients kept asking me, do I provide financing? Because I understood the process. I used to refer them out, and I said, you know what? I'm going to take the venture on my own. And that's how I started. I kept listening to the client feedback.
Okay, so I think we missed a bit there, because what led up to that, right? Like, where did you go to school? What were you doing before you started Burr Cash?
Yeah, so I have a degree in mechanical engineering. I have an MBA in finance. I worked in corporate America for 10 plus years in the pharmaceutical industry. And in that time frame, I'll go back. Prior to starting my first, corporate America job, I bought my first home as an undergrad in college.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I just took the leap. I didn't have any pay stubs. I just had a job offer. I went to a bank. I had okay credit. Mm-hmm. And it gave me a loan. I bought my first house literally like a month and a half before graduating from undergrad. And after working in corporate America, I worked in different roles, from operations management, supervisor. And then when in those different roles, you get to manage people. You get to, personal development, things of that nature. And then while doing that, I always invested in real estate. And then after about 15 plus years, I decided to, better myself, because, mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with having a full-time job. But then you say, you know what? am I enjoying myself to the fullest ability? And if I could do something differently, what would that be?
Right. Okay.
And no, then
go ahead. Sorry.
So then I said, you know what? I enjoy real estate. I enjoy mentoring, you know, clients. And why not just take a chance and better myself?
Yeah. So it sounds like you had an investment bug in you from a very young age. Or did your parents do investing as well in real estate?
So yeah, grew up in New York. My parents had a few investment properties.
Okay.
And so I was somewhat exposed to, here's a rental property. And I had a few other cousins that had a few rental properties. And, you know, and I remember it well because on Saturdays I would have to go, you know, it was a 4-unit property. My dad will say, let's go clean up the hallways. So I would sweep them off the hallways. Right. So I saw that side of it, you know, putting in the effort.
Right.
And I understood, okay, they have tenants. And I understood that it increased in value over time.
Okay.
So that was my exposure. And so being aware of that and then also living in a property they owned as well, it did motivate me to buy my first home right away when I was in undergrad. Yes.
Okay. No, that's awesome. And I kind of grew up in a similar situation. My dad was a small time, I guess, property owner, had a few homes. And it does translate, right, into you where you're having to participate in that. So that's good. Let's talk about how that kind of has shaped you and how you invest and lead in Burr Cash.
So one thing I would say, when I talk to clients or even potential new investors, it's about, you know, taking action. But also too, if you are, I call it proximity to action takers. If you are, you know, being near my parents around real estate, let me to start earlier. And so part of the thing is that if you are near action takers, you're going to take action, or it helps you, it increases your motivation to do things. And so that's kind of what led me to Burr Cash, because I was investing in real estate and I listened to the feedback and I said, you know what, let me go ahead and help other people in their journey as well.
Good. Yeah. So now that first property that you purchased, which state was it in?
It was in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And it was strategically because at that time I worked for a pharmaceutical company, and so it was not too far from, you know, where I worked when I was in corporate America, because I actually did an internship, so I was very familiar with the area. And so because of that, I felt comfortable making that leap.
Okay. And so you made the investment though, but what resources and things, like what type of help did you get to find out that this would be a good investment? Because a lot of people, you know, we see things, we want it, we hear about buying, but we may not know how to identify, like, what's a good investment.
So I'm glad you mentioned that. My first home was my primary residence.
Okay.
And I was like, I have the option. I can rent or I can buy. That's kind of the two options, right?
Right.
And I said, you know, I did simple math. I said, okay, based off of the purchase price, it was about, say, back then, it was a 2-bedroom, 2-bath townhome, and it was about $145,000. Mm-hmm. And I did the math. Well, I said, if I work for 30 years and retire and I buy my house right away, mm-hmm. and I have a house that's paid off when I retire. That was my mindset. But right. I also said the cost of the mortgage payment was probably the same or a little less than the cost of renting. And I also knew that rent can go up over time, mm-hmm. versus if I have a 30-year fixed mortgage, the taxes can go up, insurance can go up, but the actual mortgage itself, principal interest, stayed the same. So I was like, you know what? Buy my house right away. When I retire, my house is paid off. That was my initial thought process. What ended up happening is that after several years, I sold that home and I bought a triplex. And so that one, I said, you know, simple math, that if I have two tenants and I live in one unit, that will help to offset and reduce my cost of living. Mm-hmm. So I tell you all the time, as a new investor, try not to overcomplicate the process. I did simple math, said, this is my mortgage payment. If I have two tenants and I had a roommate too, my cost of living went down, and that was enough for me to take action. And then the rest of it, you can fine tune it over time.
Right.
But don't get caught up with the analysis paralysis. And then what you also will see after you buy a few properties, that your tax returns may be a little different because you have write-offs. And I didn't know all this when I started taking action.
Okay.
So when it comes after that and I purchased my first investment, mm-hmm. then it's like, okay, this is the part of real estate investing that might not be as fun. It might be boring because you're running numbers. So no matter where you are on your journey, you have to be comfortable running numbers, appreciate math, or have someone on your team that's going to do that for you.
Right. Now that we definitely are going to come back to that a little bit, because you just broke down the difference between purchasing or identifying property that could be the principal home and that process of going through it, and then investment. Now, what would you say, right, is the right way to do this? Should we, in considering today's economy, today's real estate world, right, should we be buying principal homes, or should even our homes be considered investments, and we approach it from that lens?
I think everyone's journey is different, but I would say where you are, it might be right to buy a principal home, or it might be right to buy an investment property. But the common theme is to buy something.
Okay. So now drill down on that. Go ahead.
So if you buy a principal residence,
and say it's a single family,
single family home.
Right. Okay.
And over 4 or 5 years, you decide that you don't like it. In those 5 years, period, you might have created equity. You can sell the property. You're not stuck with it forever. If mm-hmm. you bought an investment property and decided to rent, and you have a property manager and it's producing income, that still also works. Right? Right. So I would say pick a path, but still take action. It's don't do the path of where I don't buy a primary home, I don't buy investment property, I'm just sitting back, hear people doing it, and I wish I'm doing it myself. So I would say, you know, everyone's journey is different. Mm-hmm. If you're buying your primary residence, I say, you know, say if you're a married couple, a strategy I used to teach my clients was that, you know, if one person's income can cover that primary residence, put on one person's debt, because when you're married or you're together, your credit file is still separate. So if your income can support it, it then allows the other person's income stuff to start buying investment properties right away as well. So you can strategize that approach as well.
Okay. All right. Yeah, no, I like that. So a lot of time we hear a lot now about people are struggling, whether it's the down payment for a principal residence and then or in investment properties. Again, it ties back a lot to that credit. Right. So as for an early or entry level person into this, BR Cash, right, is that something that you get involved with, helping first time homeowners, or are you solely focused on investment?
So we focus primarily on investments, but we do have relationships with people who loan officers who do first time home buyers. Okay. So we'll have the initial conversation and we may pair them up with someone that we know is in the industry. And I said it to say, I understand the primary residence process. So that's why I don't mind having the initial conversation. And then if depending on what state they're looking to purchase in, I do have partners, I can say, contact this person. And also too, the good thing about, I can answer that question because I can say, I purchased my first home 20 plus years ago. Today, there are so many different down payment systems options available to help you purchase your primary residence. Mm-hmm. So there's funding there to help fill that gap. And a lot of states have it. And it might even some states have where you can use it to buy an owner-occupied duplex. So I would say if you look to purchase primary residence, reach out to give me a call and I can put you right in contact for realtors or lenders to help you find that down payment assistance. And then for if it's your first investment property.
We got about 10 seconds. Go ahead. We got to take a break. Go ahead.
If it's your first investment property, then it can be you might have business partners. Mm-hmm. And so the right partnerships, you can have one person with great credit, one person has the income, and that can still be used, you know, in conjunction to help you get the first property.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to pause right here for a second for a quick break, and we will return speaking with Mr. Owen Dublin from Burr Cash. We're going to get into now all that you do.
Get over here and give your Uncle Mike a hug.
Hey, Uncle Mike.
Why is it that I only see you at birthday parties and reunions? Hey, your mother told me you quit your job to start your own company.
That's right. See, I built this app.
Oh, so it's more like a hobby.
Not a hobby. It's actually doing really well.
Is that your app?
Nah, it's my bank. They noticed unusual activity on my debit card.
Oh, that's not good. Happened to me once. Huge headache.
Not with Wells Fargo. I can respond right now via text. Then they'll call me and help me get things back on track. Oh, plus, I can swing by my bank and get a temporary card issued right away. Oh, And that's Wells Fargo calling to follow up.
You got a good head on your shoulders, son. How about I put a word in for you at the shop?
Nope, not necessary. My company's doing fine.
Don't mention it. Oh, hey, Lawrence, get over here and give your Uncle Mike a hug.
At Wells Fargo, when we notice unusual debit card activity, we can alert you and help you handle it so you can keep your life moving forward. Suspicious card activity alerts. Security, convenience, together. Wells Fargo, together we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank N.A., member FDIC.
We are back. The African American Chamber of Commerce of New Jersey Empowerment Hour. I am your guest host today, Tammy Holloway, and we are going to continue this exciting conversation with Mr. Owen Dublin, President and CEO of BurrCash. So we left off, Owen, talking a little bit about the difference between, you know, residential home, primary residences, and investments properties. We're going to talk a little bit about what were some of the core problems that you were determined to solve when you launched your company.
So yes, at the time when I mentioned investors and needed financing, I referred them out to a lending partner. And it sometimes worked out good, sometimes it didn't. So one of the things is about, I guess, on the investing side was like reliability and someone who, you know, reliability, but also understands the investment property process, right? Not just the financing, but actually understanding investing as well. So reliability, understanding investing. And then also, too, I say my past clients have more access to me and their journey, right? Because at that point, I may say to them, well, check this number again, because I get to see their scope of work and things of that nature. Because I want all my clients to be successful, not just for the first property, but for the 50th or the 25th, whatever they decide to do in their journey.
Okay. So that core determination or motivation, if you summed it up in a few words, would be that you wanted to just help people navigate this process.
Yes.
Okay.
But in a reliable way, because there are multiple advertisements and then it's like, one, are they reliable, right? When you submit that offer for mm-hmm. an investment property, mm-hmm. one, are you stressing about the process of understanding the financing? So one is to make sure people understand it enough to feel comfortable with it, but also know when they submit the offer, they know it's going to be reliable financing.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. So continuing on that, how do you simplify the process for customers who may feel intimidated by, you know, real estate and investing?
That's a good question. So me personally, I do have different like investor workshops and seminars. So we have different networking events and mixers. So we might present for about an hour about the different financing options. Also to later this year or next year, we're going to be having investor courses for newer investors to really break it down. And we're going to cover some of the common investment strategies, say fix and flip, the Burr strategy, or buy and hold. And then we're also going to talk about, you know, the mindset. And we're going to have homework and case studies and problem solving as well. Okay. Because for real estate investing, it's not, okay, follow these 10 steps. It's, okay, you are the project manager, you're the CEO, and part of investing is solving problems.
Right.
And we're going to hone in on that in our courses and things of that nature as well.
Okay. I can't help it. I got to hear more about the Burr strategy of buy and hold.
Well, so we picked the name BurrCash. I'll break that down. So buy, rehab, rent, refinance, repeat. It's a very popular real estate investing term. So we picked that name for that purpose.
Say that one more time.
Buy, rehab, rent, refinance, repeat.
Okay.
So if you Google search Burr, that's where we picked that name. Because in the real estate investing world, it's a very popular term.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the hold part.
Well, so if you do that strategy, yes, you're gonna keep it.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna create equity, create cash flow with the tenant, and then refinance, repeat the process.
Okay. And then when you refinance, that's gonna help you with the next project.
Yes, because in theory, if it's executed well, you're able to pull back out your funds you put in, and you can go ahead and recycle that capital again into the next property.
All right. Look at me here learning something about investing. No, because I mean, I am a homeowner, but I'm not an expert at this either. And so this is great for our listeners to hear how you did it. And you did it at such a young age. So it's given that hope that anybody can do it, right? We can all participate in this process.
And I do want to add, you know, you mentioned you're a homeowner. Homeowner is a good thing. Is that the question becomes like, is your current home your forever home or it's like your starter home, right?
Right.
Because if it's your starter home, and if ideally if it works out, you can buy your future home and keep your starter home as your first rental property.
Now break that down. You know you got to break that down. I want to hear that. How do you do that?
So basically, instead of you saying, I want to look for investment property, I'm going to look for my forever home, right? And if you're going to contact your lender and say, okay, I want to purchase a new owner-occupied property, but I want to keep my current home as a rental property.
Mm-hmm.
So long as you can accommodate that new debt, you purchase your new forever home and then keep your current home as a rental.
Now, but accommodating the new debt, is that where something like where Bird Cash would come? How does that work?
So that would not be through Bird Cash. It'd be through your traditional lender. But this way, I'll give advice to people on their journey, right? I was like, if that's not your starter home, that's a easier path for you to navigate into investing.
Okay.
So you would need at that point your traditional residential lender with your pay stubs, W-2, things of that nature, and get qualified to purchase your new forever home, but then keep your other property as a rental property.
Okay, good. So we just went right into what my next question was going to be to you. And that is about how Bird Cash is creating that pathway for unrepresentative or just unknowing, right, potential investors to get involved into the investment process. Now, we're using investment properties, right, to build wealth. That's the goal of this. Why else would someone or should someone invest in real estate?
So I'm glad you mentioned that, because first thing I would say is that people want to build wealth, or they want generational wealth, financial freedom, right? Mm-hmm. Between generational wealth, financial freedom, different paths. People realize that it helps them create an opportunity that they can't see, right? When I say that, right, when you purchase real estate and say you've had over time, or if you do a fix and flip and you created an equity, it allows you or even your kids or a relative to maybe start a business. So it can be used as an avenue to open up doors and opportunities, because you have those funds to start something. You have those funds to better yourself. You have the funds to take a risk.
Right. And when you say funds, you're talking about rental income.
Rental income or the equity of the property, right? Because rental income is one piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had it for, say, 10 years. So let's go back. Like, you know, we just came through a COVID-19, a pandemic, right?
Right.
If you purchased this property, say, 2 years before the pandemic, and you've had it now, the amount of equity that you gained, you can't even, you know, it went up such a high percentage.
Mm-hmm.
You have instant equity, you know, post-pandemic.
Right.
So this is where I had property in the Poconos, and I purchased it a year before the pandemic, not knowing it'd be a pandemic.
Right.
Okay. Pandemic happened. And a lot of money came from New York City and other places, and the prices of the properties went up drastically. And then, so that equity you have there, if you were to sell it, can be used to, say, start a business or whatever it may be, pay for college. It creates an opportunity that did not exist before.
Okay, awesome. Now, tell us about a story where Bird Cash has changed the trajectory for someone, financial trajectory for someone that you were working with.
Well, I would say all my past clients, but okay. I would say part of it is this. So I've had a client where they owned the property already and they want to do a rehab loan. And I feel like part of my job is to tell a client, sometimes you should not do a loan. So like the property's value, you know, versus what they would make after the rehab, it wasn't that much of a spread in equity. So I said to the clients, like, instead of you taking a loan and doing rehab for $100,000 to make a profit of potentially $5,000 more if you sold it now, I said to the client, my recommendation would be for you to sell as is, take a slightly smaller profit versus the magnitude of risk that you're going to take for just $5,000 more. Because if you take a $100,000 rehab and one thing goes wrong, that potential equity is gone. And so part of it, I would say, is that I'll look out to my client and say, sometimes let's pass on the loan, because I can kind of see as an investor the level of risk that you're about to take, and it's not really worth that potential trade-off.
And so how do we find, like, Bird Cash is doing that. What is that called? Is that called a consultant? What is that?
I guess I'll call it take care of my clients.
Okay. So like, as an investor.
Yes, as an investor, right? Mm-hmm. Because I'm an investor, right? Mm-hmm. The client will tell me about their potential investment scenario. So in that process, my investor hat is naturally on. Mm-hmm. And like, I can, the project that they tell me about, I can understand it as an investor first and then translate to the financing as well.
No, this is good information. It's great for particularly for our communities as well and our businesses who, you know, we have traditionally not been able to operate in mass in this type of business because we just don't know, right? I hear it all the time where people say, I want to do something, but I don't know, or I don't even know that I'm capable of doing it because I don't know where to begin when it comes to the financing piece in particular.
And so I'm glad you mentioned that, right? The financing piece and where to begin, right? So a lot of times people remember the experience when they purchase their first home, where they need pay stubs, tax returns, W-2s. In the real estate investing world, stuff that we do, we don't ask for pay stubs. We don't ask for tax returns. We don't ask for W-2s. You can actually quit your job tomorrow and still buy investment properties.
Okay, now let's talk about it. Tell me what I need to invest. tell the listeners, what do we need to invest tomorrow? How do we become clients at Burr Cash?
So you'll need, I would say, okay credit score. So and if you don't have a member, you can have a business partner that has it, right? You can create an entity because mm-hmm. most of my clients will purchase property in an entity. And then it comes down to, you don't need to have pay sub. You need to do have some capital, some money, you know, as far as your down payment.
Now, can you put numbers on this? And that credit score and that how much money we need in the bank. Just give us a range.
I'll give you a credit score. Generally speaking, we'll say above a 660. But okay. Remember, you don't have to have it. If you don't have it, your business partner can have it. Right. So there's a lot more ways to problem solve on the real estate investing side.
Okay.
Because if you have partnerships, one person can have the strong credit. One person may have the money for the down payment. So there's different ways. It's easier to problem solve on the real estate investing side than it is on the owner-occupied purchase side.
Okay. And the amount of money you need is depending on the purchase price, right?
Depending on the purchase price and the type of loan that you need. So for example, if the property is a functional turnkey rental, your down payment, say for a small multifamily, might be 25% down. Okay. Versus if it's a small multifamily rehab loan, the loan structure may be 10 to 15% down. So depending on the finance you need, short-term money versus long-term money, the down payment may vary.
Okay. Now we have about a minute left and I do want to get this in. What opportunities do you see emerging in real estate investment space? And how is Burr Cash positioning itself to deliver even greater value to customers in the next few years?
So there's always, I would say, real estate opportunities exist everywhere. It comes down to, as an investor, what is your strategy? What are you trying to do, right? Is your strategy to just buy turnkey functional rentals? Is your strategy to do fix and flips? Because, or is your strategy the Burr strategy, right? So depending on your strategy, you may need to explore new markets. Mm-hmm. And so paying attention to data, right? And so one thing that we are doing, we are going to be leveraging, you know, AI for future stuff as well.
Okay. Thank you so much. That is going to do it for us this evening on Empowerment Hour with Mr. Owen Dublin, Burr Cash. Thank you so much. You've provided some great insight for our customers. I'm sorry, for our members and our listeners here this evening. And tell our listeners how they can reach you if they're interested.
They can reach us at Burr Cash. That's B with four R's and then cash. So burrcash.com.
And go ahead. Quickly.
We're also on social media as well, all different platforms. Search Burr Cash.
Burr Cash, B4Rs.com. Thank you.
New Jersey is the Garden State. But did you know that one of the most important things we can farm is wind? Offshore wind provides clean, renewable energy. It creates jobs and drives economic growth. In fact, it's estimated that a single wind farm can create over 4,000 jobs and add more than $700 million to the state's economy. Offshore wind, propelling New Jersey's future. To learn more, visit nj.gov/offshorewind.
Corey, get over here and give your Uncle Mike a hug.
Hey, Uncle Mike.
Why is it that I only see you at birthday parties and reunions? Hey, your mother told me you quit your job to start your own company.
That's right. See, I built this app.
Oh, so it's more like a hobby.
Not a hobby. It's actually doing really well.
Is that your app?
Nah, it's my bank. They noticed unusual activity on my debit card.
Oh, that's not good. Happened to me once. Huge headache.
Not with Wells Fargo. I can respond right now via text. Then they'll call me and help me get things back on track. Oh, plus, I can swing by my bank and get a temporary card issued right away. Oh, and that's Wells Fargo calling to follow up.
You got a good head on your shoulder, son. How about I put a word in for you at the shop?
Nope, not necessary. My company's doing fine.
Don't mention it. Oh, hey, Lawrence, get over here and give your Uncle Mike a hug.
At Wells Fargo, when we notice unusual debit card activity, we can alert you and help you handle it so you can keep your life moving forward. Suspicious card activity alerts. Security, convenience, together. Wells Fargo, together we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank N.A., member FDIC.
Offshore wind power puts the wind at New Jersey's back with clean, renewable energy that can power tens of thousands of homes and create thousands of jobs. In fact, it's estimated that a single wind farm can create over 4,000 jobs and add more than $700 million to the state's economy. Offshore wind, propelling New Jersey's future. To learn more, visit nj.gov/offshorewind.
Good evening. Welcome to the Empowerment Hour, the African American Chamber of Commerce of New Jersey. My name is Tammy. I am your guest host today. I am the Senior Program and Membership Specialist with the African American Chamber of Commerce of New Jersey. We broadcast weekly on Tuesdays, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. on 1040 a.m. WCHR. Thank you to our sponsors, Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey and Wells Fargo. Today, we have in studio with us the phenomenal Mr. Skip Bailey, CEO of Skip Bailey Coaching. And we are going to have an exciting conversation with Mr. Bailey this evening. Before we get started, just a few announcements. AACCNJ presents Your Goals, Your State, Your Move on March 17th, 2026 at the Transformation Center located at 167 West Hanover Street in Trenton, New Jersey. 5:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. Please join us for a solutions-focused men's conversation facilitated by none other than CEO, President of the African American Chamber of Commerce of New Jersey, Mr. John Harmon. Women are invited to participate in this conversation. This is just going to be a conversation that does focus on helping men move forward in New Jersey. The AACCNJ also presents the State of Black New Jersey on Thursday, April 16th, at the Princeton Marriott Forrestal, 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. Join the AACCNJ for a conference. This is an annual event. The keynote speaker this year has been announced as none other than the phenomenal Reverend Al Sharpton. Please come out and engage with some of these phenomenal panels that we are going to have. Registration is open on our website at www.aaccnj.com. You can also follow us on social media and track all events on our website as well. So, Mr. Skip Bailey.
Yes. Good evening. How are you?
I am wonderful. How about you? I'm happy to have you here in the studio and sharing some perspective with us about Skip Bailey Coaching and all that you do. You have a phenomenal biography. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about you? Tell us about your family, your background, where you're from.
Well, thank you. Thanks again, Tammy, for having me. Yes, I'm originally from Cape Charles, Virginia, on the Eastern Shore. It's just before Virginia Beach, the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. It's a little country town. If you ride down there and turn your head slightly, you'll miss it. So, and it's the truth. Yeah. So, and my background also, living in Virginia before I moved to New Jersey, as a little boy, I used to have to pick potatoes and tomatoes in the fields with my grandmother, go out there with her in the hot sun. Mm-hmm. And that's because that was one of the ways that she used to earn money to help raise and support me, my brother, and my sister. Mm-hmm. We were living with her. In detail with my story, a little bit added to my story, we used to have to use the outhouse.
Oh, wow.
You know, to use the bath because we did not have an inside toilet.
Right.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So that was, you know, as far as me living in Virginia, moving to New Jersey when I was 10 years old, we moved to New Jersey to live with our parents.
Okay.
And things changed.
Yeah. Okay. Now, so I know a little bit about the country. Like, my grandparents are from Georgia, small town, Collins, Georgia, but I know how much picking, well, I had to pick peas. You were picking potatoes. Yeah, the field peas, but I love them. I love to eat them. So I would go out there and work for my for my dinner. It was delicious. But I know how that kind of shapes who we are, right, and who we become and what we value. So when you came to New Jersey, talk a little bit about how that transition was for you, for what you remember. You know, you were a kid, you were 10 years old, you said, but how did that help you transition? When you came to New Jersey, you were in Trenton?
Yes, we moved to Trenton. I think when we first moved to Trenton, we moved to North Trenton. And actually moving to Trenton, to Jersey from the South, for me, was like kind of a cultural shock. Mm-hmm. And I say that, and I, you know, even at that age, at 10, 11 years old, I had to, you hear the phrase of people, adults wearing a mask to pretend that they're someone else or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. I had to put on a mask because living in Virginia, a little country boy, and mm-hmm. I had bedwetting issues.
Okay.
And moving here as a city boy, and I had to become a whole new different person.
Right.
So I had that challenge at such a young age.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but you know, it was different, you know. And I played baseball in Trenton, a little bit for the junior high school baseball teams when I got to be a teenager, mm-hmm. and then learned how to play music also.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. So, do you still consider yourself a country boy, or are you a city man now?
At heart, country.
Okay.
Because if you hear me, you listen and have a conversation with me, mm-hmm. you're going to hear it slip out. Everyone, you're going to hear it somewhere.
Yeah.
It's still there.
Yeah, people pick it up. And you do still visit often because you still...
Yeah, we still have a house down there in Virginia, yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So that is the forever home and a happy place for you.
Yes.
Which is excellent.
Actually, that's the place when I go, when we go down there for our family reunions, I go for a ride by myself because... I think in the whole town, we may have, I think maybe one traffic light, maybe two. Seriously, I'm right. Serious. So this like long road. So I just get in the car, put on my smooth jazz, yeah. and just take a long ride by myself. So that's my, right. my peaceful place there.
Love it. Yeah, so you can't fly in, I would think.
Negative. You have to go to Norfolk or Virginia Beach and then drive across that long bridge, the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're a dad, right, Skip?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right. So talk a little bit about that. You, where did you raise your children, and you know, how was that experience in raising children in the North, being a true to heart country man?
Well, actually, I have four sons and one daughter. My sons were all raised here in Trenton. My daughter, she's in Waco, Texas. Mm-hmm. She lives in Waco, Texas. Okay. I met her mom when I was in the Army. Okay. But my sons, you know, being raised here in Trenton. When people meet my sons, I often get the compliment of how mannerable they are. And my sons are adults and people tell me how mannerable they are. And I said to myself, well, they should be because that's the way they were raised.
Right.
And we raised them to be mannerable, right. And which they are. And I guess when we used to take them to Virginia with us for the holidays, for the reunions, they picked up a little bit on that little Southern hospitality.
Okay, good.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so they got the roots, kind of like me. My parents were both born and raised in Georgia, and then their children, we're first generation mm-hmm. New Jersey residents. But, okay, so now tell me a little bit more about you, right? What led up to, how do we get to Skip Bailey Coaching?
Well, actually, Skip Bailey Coaching is actually started at a job I used to work at. This manufacturing job I used to work at, and I used to be sitting there at night. So I used to work in the evening, so I'd be sitting there and like bored to death because the job wasn't challenging at all. So I was like, I was thinking about being rich because circling back to Virginia, I used to watch the American Bandstand on Saturday mornings. I'm taking you way back now.
Yeah.
On a black and white TV set, American Bandstand, watching the Jackson 5 and James Brown. And I always wanted to be an entertainer and I wanted to be rich. So moving fast forward back to the job I used to work at in Jersey, I wanted to be rich. So I started reading this book I picked up was called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Mm-hmm. So, but I was reading the book, I was focused on the last word, rich. But not realizing that the first word, think, was getting in my head. It was that's where it all started, actually. Yeah. So once that book, reading the Think and Grow Rich, reading Les Brown's book, he's a motivational speaker, Tony Robbins, reading all those books, and starting to go to some seminars. That's where it all started from, and listen to them on cassette tapes.
Okay. All right, wonderful. So how did you get to that day where it was like, today is the day that I am going to be a coach? I think you have some more. You have a phenomenal biography. So I think you got involved in some music, mm-hmm. and also some other ventures that you were involved in.
Okay. Yes. Like I said, I'm a musician. I've been playing music pretty much all my life. Playing music with the coaching, how that started, and I'm going to circle back around again with my fashion shows. I used to produce and promote hair and fashion shows here in Trenton. Mm-hmm. We used to promote some of the largest and best fashion shows in the tri-state area right here in Trenton at the Marriott mm-hmm. Hotel downtown Trenton and at Cedar Gardens in Hamilton. And a lot of the models that modeled for me years ago, they have their own businesses. They're in magazines. They're in videos. Some are in movies and TV shows. And I didn't realize that I was helping them and coaching them back then, mm-hmm. you know. And so moving fast forward, even with my music playing, I was addicted to cocaine also, way before the fashion shows. Okay. So addicted to cocaine, I'm coming back around with this. Mm-hmm. Addicted to the cocaine, I realized that in order for me to really help myself mm-hmm. to get clean, I had to find a way.
Yeah.
I had to find a way, and along with reading the books, and I got involved with a lot of network marketing companies.
Right.
And a lot of those network marketing companies are personal development companies with income attached to it. That's what it was. And pretty much that's where it all started. And when I realized that with the models and the other individuals that was on my team, the fashion shows and all these other things, that they were doing so well and doing so well right now. Even back, I wrote my first book back in 2013. That's when it hit me that I have something here. I have a gift that God gave me so I can help other individuals. That's where it all started from.
Okay. Now, so let's talk a little bit about some of the struggles that you had and the experiences that you had growing up in Trenton, raising your kids in Trenton, and then the good stuff too, right? You're a musician. You mm-hmm. What instrument do you play?
I play the best instrument, which is the bass guitar.
Okay, and are you were self-taught, or did you have official training?
Both. Official at first. Then self-taught. Actually, when I moved to Trenton, in East Trenton, the neighborhood, some of the guys in the neighborhood, they were from musical families. And they taught me, actually, the Flowers family, they actually taught me. And then, of course, I went to music school, and even at Trenton High School, doing music classes up there. But it was mainly from the friends who actually taught me how to play bass guitar.
Okay. Yeah. And what did you do with it? Were you professionally performing? What did you do with the music?
Well, actually, in my book, I talk about, you know, if you've seen any movies, I know with the Jackson 5, when Joe Jackson used to take the Jackson 5, the boys, to the nightclubs during the school night
yes.
and playing the clubs.
Yep.
We used to do that.
Okay.
Right here in Trenton. There were some bars in Trenton and in Philadelphia. We would play in the bars during the school nights on a Thursday night and then have to get up and go to school the next day, tired, on a Friday morning, but we enjoyed it though.
Wow.
So I played in bars and nightclubs as a teenager. And then later on after that, as an adult, when I became an adult, I played for this lady. Her name is Millie Jackson.
Okay.
Back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. She's in a new Tyler Perry movie. She's singing in there, which was good for him to give her a part in there. But I did shows with, I was on some of the same shows with B.B. King, Dennis Edwards of the Temptations, Roger Troutman and Gap Band, all those other people, not the Zap Band, not the Gap Band. So I've done a lot with the music, yeah.
Okay, so that is kind of like your true passion. It wasn't just a
exactly
treat. Okay,
yeah, music is my passion and my passion, but coaching is my purpose.
Absolutely. And then the coaching, I would guess, is also partially motivated by those experiences as well in music and growing up in Trenton.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So here you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Skip Bailey, shout out to Trenton, producing artists, entrepreneurs. We are going to take a short break and we will return after the break with more on Skip Bailey coaching and we'll get all into it.
Hey, get over here and give your Uncle Mike a hug.
Hey, Uncle Mike.
Why is it that I only see you at birthday parties and reunions? Hey, your mother told me you quit your job to start your own company.
That's right. See, I built this app.
Oh, so it's more like a hobby.
Not a hobby. It's actually doing really well.
Is that your app?
Nah, it's my bank. They noticed unusual activity on my debit card.
Oh, that's not good. Happened to me once. Huge headache.
Not with Wells Fargo. I can respond right now via text. Then they'll call me and help me get things back on track. Oh, plus I can swing by my bank and get a temporary card issued right away. Oh, and that's Wells Fargo calling to follow up.
You got a good head on your shoulder, son. How about I put a word in for you at the shop?
Nope, not necessary. My company's doing fine.
Don't mention it. Oh, hey, Lawrence, get over here and give your Uncle Mike a hug.
At Wells Fargo, when we notice unusual debit card activity, we can alert you and help you handle it so you can keep your life moving forward. Suspicious card activity alerts. Security, convenience, together. Wells Fargo, together we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank N.A., member FDIC.
Okay, we are back. Welcome back to the African American Chamber of Commerce of New Jersey Empowerment Hour. I am your guest host, Tammy Holloway, and I am having a phenomenal discussion with Mr. Skip Bailey, CEO of Skip Bailey Coaching. So, Skip, we left off just talking about what inspires your coaching style, those experiences that you had growing up in Trenton, your passion for music, your true roots stemming back to a small country town in Virginia. I won't even attempt to say the name. But a small town. And so that shaped who you are, shaped your coaching style. How would you tell us or help our listeners understand how you help clients build and rebuild confidence when necessary?
One of the first ways things I do is to be totally transparent with them about myself.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I tell them my background before. As a matter of fact, when I'm coaching clients, even if it's one-on-one, even when I do speaking engagements, I tell my whole story within a 5-minute time frame from beginning to up to now, to be totally transparent so they can be relaxed, so they can trust me, feel that they can trust me, so they can feel in return, so they can feel that they can trust themselves to open up.
That's right. So are you in that approach? You're trying to get people to kind of dig deeper and to address maybe some of the either traumas or experiences that they may have had in their lives that they just don't talk about. Talk about how important that is to open up and be able to embrace the coaching experience. How important that is to actually have impact.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's one of the things that a lot of us have grown up with from far as I can remember. One of the things that our parents have told us, you know, whatever goes on in the household stays on in the household. Don't tell anybody about your problems or whatever. And you see, that's why so many individuals today, whether it's in a grocery store, whether it's in a business establishment, no matter where it is, this person, you may say, what's wrong with that person? Has an issue. There are a lot of individuals, grown up individuals from age, I'm just throwing a number out, from age 21 to 71 years old. That are still carrying around childhood issues. Yeah. And I throw that 71-year-old because some of the clients that I did have in the past, because I was doing relationship coaching, and some of the clients that I have had in the past were 71-year-old clients who still had childhood issues.
Right.
You know, and some of these individuals who have PhDs that are had positions in churches. So age and titles don't mean anything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Going back to your goal that you shared with us in the first half about getting rich, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you don't deal with these issues, you really can never hit that goal, right?
Absolutely.
Because if you get $1 billion, it'll never be enough, right? Like, just talk about that a little bit, how important this is for people to, when setting goals, to actually also simultaneously incorporate some form of coaching to actually accomplish and appreciate what all that you're doing.
Absolutely. So no matter what level you want to go to, if you have not gotten rid of the old stuff, they're just saying garbage in, garbage out. You haven't gotten rid of the old garbage, meaning the stuff that a lot of stuff that we are carrying around. Because if you want to be a top athlete and you have the best coach there is, a physical fitness coach, he could teach you all that he knows, but if you don't have a head-heart connection with yourself to clean and clean out all of that stuff, and I use actually when I do my coaching and when I do my speaking engagements, I do visuals. I actually bring a shovel on stage with me.
Okay.
A physical shovel to visual people to take that shovel to dig down and get that junk out of there.
Right.
Because if that stuff is still there, you're just piling on other stuff and wonder why things aren't going right, because you still have this stuff that's still there. You have to dig down and get it out in order to get to the next level that you want to get, whether it's personal, professional, or in relationships, or as parenting also.
Okay. No, that's good. You talked a little bit about some of the uniquenesses of your style, your mm-hmm. approach to, you know, people digging deep into themselves. I guess touch a little bit on how you help people with all of that, digging deep to shape their goals, right? And to make it purposeful and make it so that it actually is an attainable goal for them.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I do also, I talk about my the five W's. And the five W's, because when I first did a little test with my family, and they were like, the five W's, what is that? So I had to break it down to them so they would understand. Mm-hmm. So the five W's, the first one is, what do you want? Because a lot of people don't know what they want. Mm-hmm. You know, even with an employment career, a lot of people are working careers because their parents suggested it to them, or because my uncle's a cop, I want to be a cop. My uncle's a lawyer, I want to be a lawyer. No, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want? Because you find so many individuals who've probably worked on a job for 10, 15 years, and maybe the 16th year they change career because they realize they're not happy.
Right.
So the first W is, what do you want? The second one is, why do you want it? Why do you want it could be even more important than the first one. You know, what do you want? Why do you want? You ask the person, you know, I want a house. That's where we're going to go even deep. I talk even deeper. I'm not going to give the whole sauce here. But, you know, a person says, I want a new house. Why do you want a new house? Because it's nice. No, there's a lot of other reasons. We could talk mm-hmm. about that at the seminar.
Mm-hmm.
When do you want it? A lot of people don't know when they want things. They'll say, well, one day, someday. When is that? Right. That's not on the calendar.
Right.
Is June someday? June right. someday? June 17th is right. not on the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And the number four, the fourth W is, who's going to help you? Mm. A lot of people get stuck because they try to do it by themselves.
Right.
That's why there are individuals like myself. They're coaches, mentors, consultants. That's why you can go to YouTube. You can go on YouTube and find almost anything, you know. But the main thing, but YouTube can only teach you so much. Right. You have to get a physical coach to sit down, especially someone who's walked the walk.
Absolutely.
Who's been there.
Right.
Not someone who's just taken a course
mm-hmm.
and got a good grade on a course, mm-hmm. you know, and paid a lot of money to someone, and they can tell you what they know. That's if they have not experienced a lot of stuff themselves, they could only just talk it. And the last one is, what are you willing to do? What are you going to do? What are you willing to do to get it?
Okay.
Are you willing to do what it takes? Are you willing to walk that lonely road? Because one of the analogies that I use in reference to boxers,
okay,
or even Olympic athletes, because I was telling some of my band members, I said, you realize that Olympic athletes train all year round for one event?
Right.
So the question is, how bad do you want what you want? How bad do you want to that six pack?
Absolutely.
How bad do you want to get A's on your grade? Are you willing to skip all the parties? Are you willing to be to yourself and study all night long? You know, you got to do whatever it takes.
No, that's great, because that was going to be my next question. The role of accountability mm-hmm. in coaching, right? And you just touched on that. Folks have to be accountable for the results. Right. In order to get it. Setting the goals, smart goals, teaches us to do all that you just said. But then there's that accountability piece for actually executing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Because if it's just if you don't execute, it's just a conversation.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Now, help us a little bit understand the biggest mind shifts people need to make in order to move from a surviving mindset to a thriving mindset.
Briefly, one of the main things is be careful who you're listening to.
Okay.
Be careful who you're listening to.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you want to start a business, you want to become an entrepreneur, you want to be one of the best entrepreneurs at all, and I suggest to you, well, why don't you talk to Mr. John Harmon? But they want to study, go back and talk to cousin Bobby, who's never had an entrepreneurship status in his life, who probably never held a good job, but his cousin, constantly giving advice. Why take advice from someone who hasn't done what you want to do? And also, one of the main things also is environment. Environment.
Mm-hmm.
You can't keep on wanting to be clean and keep on jumping in the mud or keep on going back to the dirty playground and playing in the mud. It just doesn't. You're going to keep on getting dirt. So listening to the right individuals and changing your environment and trusting that person in the mirror, the man in the mirror, the woman in the mirror, trusting that person and don't cheat yourself.
Don't cheat yourself. They say treat yourself.
Treat yourself. Don't cheat yourself.
That's right. All right. So as a coach and entrepreneur, what have been some of the biggest lessons you've learned while building your brand?
And that's a good question because I take that personal. One of the main things for myself personally is don't wait on other people to be my cheerleader. Don't be my biggest cheerleader. Because nobody is going to, even though you have family members, friends, or whomever, they're not going to be as excited and as enthusiastic about your goal as you are. It's not going to happen.
Absolutely.
Right. It's just not going to happen. So be your biggest cheerleader and learn to push yourself. You know, one of my alarms on my clock every morning wakes me up every single morning is one of the clips from The Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith. It says, you want something, go get it. That wakes me up every single morning.
Yeah, that was a phenomenal movie on perseverance, mm-hmm, right?
Mm-hmm. Like
it for sure. And every entrepreneur, we need some of that in
absolutely
us to be successful. Do you have any initiatives? Tell us about any new initiatives or programs that you're excited to introduce.
Well, actually, one of the ones is my new workbook. I revised it, so it's revision. It's called The Blueprint. 31 Daily Success Growth Principles.
Okay.
Because taking these steps every single day. And it's, you know what? It's pretty much, it's practical. Everything's things that we can do or we should be doing every single day we just don't doing. It's just a guide. It's called The Blueprint. And I have a Be Unstoppable Growth training also that I'm putting out there also that's in place. And also one of the main ones also, so I'm compiling all of those. And the main one is that the five W's, five W's. So we got the blueprint, we got the Be Unstoppable Growth training, and the five W's also.
Okay, why don't you right here while we're talking about those, tell people how they can access that. So how can folks get the workbook?
Okay, actually, you can go on my website skipbailey.com. Skipbailey.com. I'm on all of the social programs, platforms, the Instagram, the Facebook, LinkedIn, this new one called Owl. I'm on that one. Mm-hmm. So I'm on all the social medias. So just go on mainly skipbailey.com.
Okay. And is that where if someone wanted to have one of your workshops, they would go there as well and
yes,
can reach you there?
Okay. Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. Okay. We have a few more seconds that we can go in. So I do want to just briefly touch on youth. Right. Mm-hmm. Aspiring entrepreneurs. How would you approach, what would be the best advice that you would give to, coaching young adults and individuals that are beginning to discover their purpose or maybe potential entrepreneurs?
Mainly decide what you want, decide what they want. And it goes back to what I was saying earlier. It's okay. We all get advice from our parents, which is good and all, but decide what you want. You know, because you're going to regret it down the road anyway. So that's my main advice to the point. Decide what you want. Get the training. Get your coach. Take some courses. Most of the time, it's going to cost some finances. But, get what you want.
Okay.
Decide what you want to do.
Great advice. And this is now, I guess, the perfect time. We have a few seconds. Can you just, again, tell folks how to reach you if they're interested? Spell your name out so that they can find you accurately.
Absolutely. SkipBailey.com. SkipBailey. That's SkipBailey.com. That's so simple.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in this evening to another episode of the African American Chamber of Commerce of New Jersey Empowerment Hour. I am your guest host, Tammy Holloway. Have a good evening.